this inspirational teaching of Celebration Sisterhood from Pastor Carrie Weems. All right. Did everybody have a good Easter? It's pretty awesome, huh? You know, and I want to tell you, I'm no relationship expert, but I am pretty relational, as Pastor Carrie was saying. I love people. You know, and God's given me some wisdom to do life with some pretty amazing people. We all learn as we grow, and I just want to share some of the practical things that I've learned along the way. You know, I want to start by telling you that there's so many different relationships in our life. When I started thinking about it, I was like, wow, you know, we're mothers, we're friends, we're spouses, we're sisters, you know, and we have a million people programmed in our cell phone that we're in relation with. So I started thinking, you know, what's special about the relationships in our life? You know, I think about all of the people on my cell phone and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of people that I'm in relationship with. So my cell phone program actually gives me the opportunity to list five people that I speak with the most and I don't get charged minutes. And I think that's pretty cool. But these are the people that I let speak into my world every day. I'm in constant communication with them. And it caused me to stop and think a minute, who am I allowing to speak into my life? So I titled the message today, Who's in Your Fave Five? So I want us to all take the time to think about who are those top people that we're letting speak into our lives. You know, I asked myself, who are these people for me? And for me, I realize that it's the people that I call on every day for wisdom, for prayer, for support. You know, these are the people that really help me run the race that I have in life. And without them, I could not live the big life that God called me to live. You know, so if I asked you today to think about, you know, who's in your fave five, I just want you guys to stop and think about that for a minute. You know, who is it that you're allowing to speak into your life today? And are they helping you become all that God has called you to be, or are they hindering you? You know, I want to give us the opportunity, no matter where we're at today, to just think about who should be in our Fave Five. You know, I think we need to become intentional about our relationships. You know, it's so easy to just kind of navigate through life. We naturally ebb and flow with people that are in our world, that have the same common interest or at the same stage of life as we are. But if we don't become intentional about our relationships, we're not going to be able to grow into that big life that God has in store for us. And in Christine Kane's book, she gives a really good example for those of you following in the book. On page 122, she says, it is through godly, positive, life-giving relationships that we are encouraged, inspired, uplifted, and carried. God created us with an intrinsic need for and a dependency on relationships. No one can do life alone. You know, from the very beginning, we think about when God created Adam. He said, you know, it is not good for man to be alone. He says, I will create a suitable helpmate for him. In Genesis 2:12, the scripture reminds us that we can't have and do it all without relationships. You know, throughout this series, we've been covering some really good truths. You know, we've talked about value, purpose, identity, you know, simplicity, just to name a few. And, you know, I was thinking about what's the one thing that all of these have in common? And what they all have in common is they all start with God. You know, we can't understand our purpose without God. We can't understand our identity without God. You know, we can't even take the steps that Pastor Carrie shared with us on how to simplify our life without first identifying those God-given priorities that we need to put at the top of the list. And it's so true that we can't live a big life without the God relationships in them. So today, I want us to identify some relationship types that we need to have in our life in order to live a big life. So if I asked you who should be in our Fave Fives, anybody got any ideas? Any thoughts? You know, who's the person that you think of when you think, this is the most important relationship in my life? Anywhere? What? Come on, Pam, what you got? Awesome. Well, I'm glad you said the Lord, because the Lord God is number one on our Fave Five list today. God created us to be in relationship with him, you know, and our relationship with God should absolutely be at the top of our priority list. You know, it's so important for us to make room for God in our lives. You know, we need his wisdom. We need his love. We need his strength, because does anybody know relationships are hard? I mean, it's hard to be there for somebody. It's hard to be a mom. It's hard to be a wife. It takes wisdom and energy and love. you know, and to be effective in all those arenas in our relationship, it has to start with us being rooted in God's love. You know, and a great way to make God number one on your Faith Five list is prayer and personal devotion. So I hope everybody, we've really been preaching a lot about personal devotion lately, and I really hope that you guys are doing it. And, you know, personal devotion is definitely two-way communication with God. So I hope we're all just not talking at God, but we're having two-way communication with God. You know, we're letting the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts as we're reading the Word. We're letting Him reveal the truths of God's Word to our hearts, and we're then taking the steps to apply those truths in our lives. You know, Pastor Stovall had some great tips on personal devotion. So if anybody out there is not doing personal devotion, I just encourage you to visit the Resource Center or go online to our website and get some of those tips and start doing your personal devotion today. But just a personal story for me about my relationship with God. I have two teenage daughters. They're awesome. Love them to death. They love the house of God. They would stay here, live here, never leave if I would let them. They're really rooted and grounded at the church. They have some amazing friends they do life with. But even as great as they are, I need my relationship to God, with God, to navigate parenthood with them. I need to draw on the strengths that I have with God just to have the wisdom to navigate all the things. You know, there's Facebook and Twitter and iPods and iTouches and Facebooks. Being a parent today in this virtual world is very difficult. I spend so much time reading all these different things, and I have to constantly go back to God and go, there's no book on this. I need your wisdom. How do I do this? You know, how do I look in all of these areas? How do I be the mom that I need to be to my kids? And it all starts in that relationship with God. And, you know, everything in our life flows out of our relationship with God. You know, it should be the single most important relationship that we spend time on in our life. So if I ask you, who's another person that should be in our Faith Five? It's encouragers. We can all use some encouragement, right? So who do you turn to for encouragement in those moments when you can't see past the hurt or crisis happening in your life? Who is speaking encouragement from God's Word over your life today? Who is it that you call when you need a word for the season that you're going through? Your Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. You know, what kind of friend are you today? There's a vast difference between being a friend and knowing someone well or being a true friend. And the evidence of that difference is in our loyalty. You know, and that's just simply put, loving somebody. If we're loyal to somebody, we love them at all times, regardless of what their issues are. You know, Corinthians 13:7 says, love always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always preserves. So let's be encouragers to the people that God's put in our world today. All right, who can think of another type of Faith Five relationship we need to have? How about some inspirers? Don't we all need to be inspired? You know, inspirers are those people that are just further along in the journey than we are today. They're already living a big life. You know, you've heard the saying, vision is easier caught than taught, and it is so true that we need these big relationships in our lives that are examples of someone living the big God first life. You know, these relationships are our inspirers. They inspire us to be better, to try harder, to love and live freer. You know, we need someone that will share the lessons that they learned on their journey, so when we hit those potholes in life, we realize it's okay and it's just part of the learning process. They inspire us to move into our God-given destiny. You know, for me, I'd have to say Pastor Carrie is a great example of this in my life. I love the heart that she has for God and for the women of Celebration Church. You know, she sees the value in us, and she spends her energy and time truly sowing into our lives and telling us and inspiring us to live a big God-first life. She's a mother, a wife, a pastor, and if that doesn't truly demonstrate that you can have and do it all, I don't know what does. She's a great inspirer. How about let's give Pastor Carrie a hand for inspiring all of us every week. All right, and we also need some supporters. We all need support. You know, we need supporters of the vision that God's given us for our life. You know, these people will help us run the race set before us and help us juggle all the balls that we have to juggle in that race. You know, Exodus chapter 6 and 7 is a story where God's speaking to Moses, and he's giving him the direction that he needs to fulfill the calling on his life, which is going to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and telling them to release the children of Israel. Well, Moses finds himself feeling pretty inadequate in this and amazed that God would ask him to be his mouthpiece because, you know, Moses stuttered. So God uses a relationship in his life, his brother Aaron, to help him deliver the message from God. And through this relationship, they were able to accomplish the vision. So when I thought about the example that God used a relationship to help Moses fulfill his destiny, Moses, a great hero of the faith, and how he realized that he needed a relationship in his life to walk out the calling that God had on it, I realized, shouldn't we also realize how important the relationships are in our life and us walking out the purposes that God has planned for our life? And the last type of relationship that we need for our Faith Five are challengers. You know, challengers are people we need to talk to that we could trust to give us wise counsel. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. You know, we need people that will just tell us sometimes you're being stupid. You know, do you have friends that will speak truth into your life or just what you want to hear? Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And I thought about this for a bit and prayed, God, help me to understand the scripture. And I wrote down, you know, a friend will always have your best interest in heart. And even though they might have to give you some unpleasant advice at times, you know it's for your good. But an enemy may whisper sweet things in your ear and then send you on your way to ruin. And I thought, you know, I would much rather have someone in my life that's willing to tell me the ugly truth sometimes for my good out of love. You know, John 15:13 says that Jesus, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. You know, we're to love each other just as Jesus loved us. And he loved us enough to give his life for us. You know, we're not being asked today to die for somebody, but there are ways that we can show sacrificial love to our friends and family. We can encourage them. We can inspire them. We can support them and challenge them. In these ways, we demonstrate love. And by also purposefully investing our time to develop these relationships, we will demonstrate love. You know, Christine Kane's Kane shares in her book some practical tools for evaluating our relationships. And she asks us, you know, are they producing the fruits of the Spirit? You know, do you see love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in your relationships today? You know, we need to critically evaluate our relationships if we want to live a big life. They take time and energy. And if we're truly going to seek that big life, we have to be purposeful at selecting our Faith Five. Our Faith Five that we select will purposefully impact our destiny. And I would say, let's start today by making a commitment to make God number one in our Faith Five. He's our source for everything that we need to live a big life. He allows us to help and allow him to help us not only select the people that we allow to speak into our lives, but also for us to be the friend that we need to be to others. And you know, some of the final thoughts I have today, you know, some of you might be thinking, I need to make some changes in my Faith Five. You know, we need to be purposeful. We don't have to cut ties with every friend and family member that we feel like aren't inspiring us or challenging us. You know, we need to be an example to them, but we do need to reevaluate the impact that they have on our lives and be purposeful about selecting people that are going to help us walk out the purpose and destiny that God has for our life. You know, and in this room today, we're surrounded by women that have made the choice to put God first, a great group of women that any of us can be proud to be called friend. And I would just encourage you to, you know, spend some time each week investing in these relationships in this room. You know, get some time to know each other, really, you know, to invest in, you know, being a challenger in each other's life or being an inspirer. You know, or maybe you don't have anybody in your Faith Five. You know, it's really easy to get busy with life, our jobs, our homes, our mortgages, and, you know, kind of keep everybody at arm's length away from us. You know, nobody has to get into our world then. You know, we can remain anonymous and not share with anyone what struggles we have going on. But I would encourage you today to be free in doing that and developing relationships. You know, we're so hard on ourselves. We think we have to carry the load ourselves. We think we have to be perfect at all times. And, you know, I just want to set you free today. Nobody walked the earth perfect except Jesus. So we've all messed up. We've all fallen short. We need to be here for each other to encourage each other and inspire each other to live a big life.
Nicole, let me ask you this. Tell me this. How do you know, in your experience, when is it time to let a friendship go? And when is it time to hang on? Because, you know, you always have this thing that you always have to be there for your friends. Mm-hmm. But we've also all been in relationships that become toxic in our lives. Mm-hmm. But how do you know the difference? How do you know when it's time to let a relationship go?
That's a great question. And I've definitely had to walk through that a few times in my life. But I will say, and I know I've talked to this about this with a couple of the girls in this room, actually, during sisterhood mornings. But, you know, there's a time in our life. We need to be an example and we need to be a friend to those people in our world. You know, I feel like God has put people in our world for a purpose, and sometimes we'll be the only Jesus that they see. So I really feel like we need to walk out and be an example to those people that God brings around us. But there is a time, you know, I can specifically tell you from my experience, I had a friend that actually came to church here. You know, we were good friends. We were Christian friends. She definitely was aligned with the visions and purposes that I had in my life. And, you know, her life began to take a different road. She started going through a bad relationship with her spouse. They ended up going through a divorce. And through this time, you know, I really felt strongly to be there for her and to pray with her. But at the same time, as we prayed and walked through this together, you know, there was a time where she purposefully started walking a different path. And I really, you know, sought God about it and on how long to hang on and hang in there with her. And I really hung on until I felt the release from the Holy Spirit to say, that's enough. You know, I wanted to be there to support her and to encourage her and to inspire her. But I really believe if we seek God, that he will let us know when it's time to let go. And, you know, for me, when she stopped receiving godly counsel, I knew it was time to let go of that relationship.
That's a good point. When there can be no more growth or no more, I think unity too, don't you think?
Yeah.
Just unity. When, you know, the Bible does say, how can two walk together unless they be in unity? And I think that's a really hard thing for us as women, because we are so relational and we can be very loyal friends. And the truth is that friendships can come and go with seasons. They can come and go when convictions change. I think that might be one of the hardest things to negotiate.
Yeah,
how did you deal with that? Like, nuts and bolts. Did you break up with your friend? Have y'all ever had to break up with a friend? It's really odd. It's weird because they're your friends. So you're not, you know, but there's a friend breakup. Or was there?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, we really did. But, you know, it just kind of naturally happened, because you'll realize when you're not on the same path, there's not really a lot of things you could do together. And, you know, it was a gradual progression, you know, as she realized I was staying the course and I wasn't willing to move to her course, that there wasn't a lot of things we were going to be able to get together and hang out and do anymore. So, and we tried for a while. You know, I still pick up the phone and call her today. I love her. I mean, I truly do love her, and I hope the best, and I still pray for her. But, you know, there's just not an opportunity for us to come together anymore and share those moments of life, because we're in two very separate areas. And it's been awkward the couple of times that we had, because the things that she gets excited about and wants to talk about aren't things that excite me anymore. And the things that I get excited about and want to talk about aren't exciting her. So it kind of just naturally fizzles out.
Yeah. And it's always hard to let friendships go. But I love what Nicole said, when there is not, you know, there does come a time when sometimes we have to make those decisions. Here's another question. And we could go on forever about this topic, but I want you to take one thing. Maybe some of you don't know this, but Nicole hasn't always had the happiest marriage in the world. If you ever hear the story of her marriage, it's a very incredible God testimony and incredibly strong marriage now, happy. But could you briefly share, like, your number one struggle and your number one principle to bringing your marriage into health?
Wow. Number one struggle. I mean, I just think, like a lot of other couples, it's hard when you come together in a relationship and become one. I mean, becoming one flesh just isn't easy, especially I have a very strong personality and my husband has a very strong personality. So we had to learn how to navigate that over the years. But I will say, I think the most important thing about learning to navigate that, and for all of the struggles we've gone through, we never let the D word come in, took the picture. You know, divorce was not an option. We got together and we were both living a very worldly life. I had been in a marriage where I was physically abused, left that marriage, got out, got right back into another relationship with my husband today, Eddie. Lived together for 3 months before we decided to get married because I wasn't going to pick somebody bad again. I thought, well, I'll just try it out. I'll live with him for a little while, make sure this is the guy I want. And we definitely got together under a worldly term and not living together or putting God first in our life. But, you know, as we fell in love with each other and decided that, you know, we did love each other, we knew, and we had both been raised in godly homes, we knew that we had to put God first in our life if we wanted our relationship to be successful. So we made that decision to do that and started navigating it. And I think, you know, over the years, as we learned to work together, we learned how to make each other our priority instead of making ourselves our priority. One of the funny things was, as we were coming to church, you know, I would feel like he'd be here and I'd be here, I'd be here and he'd be here. You know, we weren't on the same spiritual plane. I felt like we were constantly out ahead of each other. And we'd come home and have conversations on the way home like, well, didn't you hear the same thing I heard in church today? Why are you acting that way? And I remember as we spoke with one of our pastors in the past, he shared the best nugget with me that I ever got. And it was, I cannot be his Holy Spirit. It's not my place to be his Holy Spirit. You know, it's God's place to take the words that he's sowing into his life and to speak what he needs to hear in them. And that really gave me a lot of peace. And it was a turning point in our relationship because I realize all I'm going to stand before God and be accountable for is myself. And I need to be the best person that I could be, the best wife that I could be. And that was all that was expected of me, and that really made a big difference in our relationship.
Yeah, that's one of the things someone told me when Stovall and I got engaged. It was a couple that was a little older than us. They had been married for about 2 years, and I said, so everyone says that being married is so hard, and it's your first year is so hard, and like, is that really true? What kind of advice do you have? And he said something so profound, and it really stuck with me and was a guiding principle. It's been a guiding principle throughout my marriage, and that is marriage is only hard when you want to be selfish.
So true.
It's only hard when you want your way more than you want to love the other person. And that doesn't mean that that's a simple answer, because sometimes you're not the one that wants to be selfish. It's the other person that wants to be selfish. And you can't do anything about that. But, you know, a selfish response to selfishness pushes back and pulls back and fights for your rights. And a loving response to selfishness is, okay, God, help me to hold my tongue. Help me to love. Help me to serve. Help me to wait for the right moment. Help me not to yell back right now. Help me to have a long-range perspective of this moment is not going to last forever, and I want to be sitting on the front porch at 85 years old holding hands and rocking and watching the sunset. So I don't want to ruin my marriage over who's going to take the garbage out today.
Right.
And that was one of the biggest things that has impacted my marriage. It's like when I start feeling that rise up in me that I want to get mad or angry or pick a fight, I think, is this really rooted in a moral issue, an ethical issue, an illegal issue, or is this about me just being selfish?
That's
and
good.
A lot of times, I'll tell you, 70% of the time, it's about me being selfish. And I just have to realize that, you know, it's a blessing from God that he gives me opportunities to crucify my flesh so that I can be a better Christ-like example.
That's
I know
awesome.
That sounds like martyr to some of you, but it's not that. It's like, how are we ever supposed to learn to grow if we don't have opportunities to crucify our flesh?
So true, so true. You know, one of the mottos in our house is, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? I'm like, I'd rather be happy than right. And another tip, sex in a sandwich works every time.
Sex in a sandwich, the best marriage advice you'll ever have. Solomon 1, sex in a sandwich. Some of you Greece people may have been out that week. I don't know. Okay, then the last question. I want you to talk about the impact that serving in church has had on your friendships and your relationships.
Wow, yeah. I mean, some of the people that are in my Faith 5 that I call for help and support and encouragement and love are definitely, you know, the people that I do life with here at church. And, you know, it's funny because we're at church a lot. So, you know, naturally, our natural flow.
A lot.
Our natural environment are you guys, you know, and we love doing life with you guys. And I have really just met some amazing people here at Celebration Church. And, you know, you guys have ministered to my life so much and been encouragers. I mean, I think of people like Jill, that's just such an inspiration to me. You know, she's just celebrating her 2-year birthday in Christ. And I look at her every week you know, and see the love and the zeal and the joy that she has for the house of God, you know, and up there, you know, alongside me celebrating with the pastor connects, the people that are giving their life to Christ. And it's just, it's such an impact because you realize, you know, this is what it's all about. You know, it really helps you when you do life with people that are on the same path as you, you realize the joy that friendships bring into your life to celebrate that journey with. And they've really made a huge difference in my life, everywhere from groups to serving. I mean, we've done it all.
And that's true. There's something about building friendships that are based around purpose. You know, it's not just, okay, I'm going to try this person out and see if they make me happy, if we're a good fit, if we click. But when you take the pressure off of the friendship and you rally around purpose, it actually gives some breathing room for the friendship to flourish and grow and, you know, take some time to develop. And so that's why I personally, I love building friendships around serving, because it kind of takes the pressure off the friendship and puts it on the serving aspect. And then in that environment, incredible friendships can take place and grow, and you can get to know people in a really cool way. So,
yeah, and it's so natural because, you know, if we are purposeful about where we're spending our energy and time, I mean, the house of God is where we want to be. This is where we're planning our life and we're walking our life out. Then we need to be surrounded by people here. You know, I was talking to Eddie as I was kind of preaching at him last night, my message going, please give me some feedback. And, you know, we were kind of laughing about relationships, and he has a friend that's very country. The guy talks so country. He could be on country music awards. He would fit right in. But what's funny about it, and we started talking about the parallel, is when Eddie's on the phone with him, he starts talking like a country hick. And I'm like, what is that? Who? What's going on? And you know, we started talking about who is around us is who we will start acting like. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's profound. And I'm like, you know, so how important is it for us to be surrounded by the right relationships? Because if they're going to impact our life and we're going to start acting like them, we better surround ourselves with some people that we want to act like. Somebody that we could be proud to emulate and to let them inspire us, because our relationships do have an impact on our life, whether we want to admit it or not. They really do.
That's the truth. Well, y'all, let's give it up for Nicole. She did such a great job today. We enjoyed it so much.
Thank you for listening to Celebration Sisterhood. We hope this message has been an inspiration and opened your heart to embracing all that God has for you.